45 minutes, so we want to make the most of our time here, and those who are late, we'll just teach them a life lesson. Again, my name is Walter Serdacki from Lipscomb University, and it's my pleasure to introduce to you a colleague of mine that we go back over 20 years in ministry together. Jack Williamson is just stepped out of full-time youth ministry at the Conejo Church and is going into the associate role or...
Something else, yeah.
Something else. A position to be named later.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So Jack has poured his heart into the lives of junior high and high school students here in the Southern California area for 20 years. I remember when Jack came down from the Pacific Northwest when I was in youth ministry, and I think I was still at Torrance when you moved down here. His wife, Tammy, is kind of the right-hand man for Mike Cope and Rick Gibson here at the lectures. That's her job. And so without further ado, let's pray, and then I want to give Jack all the time that we can for him. Father, as we navigate the minefields of technology, would you give us wisdom? As we wrestle with how to shepherd and coach young people to make right and wise decisions with their technology, would you give us wisdom and patience? And God, as we do lead our students in these areas, would you give us boldness and courage? Because there are so many norms when it comes to kind of the use of technology that may or may not be healthy in our rhythms of life. May we be bold enough to be prophetic and be pastoral and say, what if we did this when it comes to our technology? Would you give us that wisdom and boldness and patience? And just be with Jack as he guides us and leads our thoughts today on this just really vital and important subject. It's in Christ we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Walter. Yeah, I'm really happy to walk through this. I'm glad Walter's here to do this as well, because he's been doing a lot of these things at Lipscomb, and it's good to just be back together with him thinking and talking about some of these things. My task today is kind of talk to in the direction of youth ministers and youth ministry. How can we help students navigate this? And my heart and my passion is really about youth ministers working with parents. Absolutely, we have to be working with our kids, building those relationships, building that time with them. I've been in youth ministry since 1983. So that's longer than most people tend to think about anyone doing that. But at the same time, I've been there on purpose, because I feel like it's the most important ministry in the church for one reason. If we don't do what we need to do in laying a foundation of faith in our children and in our teenagers as they're developing identity, then we won't have a church to bring dynamic preachers to later on. And so I am 100% sold out to the fact that we need to do youth ministry thoughtfully, faithfully, and do it well. And so when we go into talking about this topic today, there are a lot of things I'd like to go into that we just don't have time to go through, but I'm going to just fly through some of these and give you one metaphor in a few minutes that really kind of guides my thought in all of this. The first thing is that this is their world. We can't say, well, should we let them do technology, put them in technology or not? You can't do that, because this is where they live. If they don't share on social media, then it seems to them as though something is wrong, or maybe something didn't happen. And I realized this again recently. These are things that I've said over and over. If these kids go and experience things and don't put it on social media, somewhere in their mind they're feeling like, well, it wasn't as full of an experience as it could have been. My son is graduating from Abilene Christian University. This is him right here, about to graduate. This is my son who graduated from Pepperdine, and his new bride of 6 months. And this is my daughter who's a sophomore at Pepperdine. My family has not been together for 3 years, because my son, who went to Abilene Christian, jokingly, tongue-in-cheek, people would say, why do you want to go to Abilene? He'd point at me and go, to get away from him. And I knew what he meant. There was no conflict, no problem, no anything, but he has constantly been in the shadow of his older brother and the shadow of me as a youth minister in Southern California. And he said, I want a new place, a new world, to create my own space. And when he went away, he stayed away. He worked through the summers, he did all kinds of things, and never really came back home. My daughter has been in Buenos Aires the last summer, or the last year. So, consequently, when my son Caleb was finishing up a program in L.A. that he was doing through ACU, and my daughter was coming home from Buenos Aires, we said, we need everyone to be together. She came in at 11:30 in the morning, and he had to leave for Texas at 10 o'clock that night. We had literally, you know, those 10 hours together. And so we went to the beach and spent the whole time there. And this is a picture taken there. But when this picture was taken, it was my wife that was leading the charge. Everybody lay on the blanket. We're going to get a picture. This is going to be great. And she instantly laid there for another 4 or 5 minutes trying to figure out how to put it on Instagram. When all my kids were going, come on, Mom, that should be done by now. But I had this feeling of, yeah, get it up so that people know we did this. Because in the back of my mind, if you don't put this on, maybe it didn't really happen. And that's kind of how our kids feel. That's the world they live in. I've inherited that from my students. That's not natural for me. I am the worst social media kind of person out there. I'm on Facebook, and I tap on it once in a while. I've got a blog that I faithfully write on once or twice every 6 months. And I've got, you know, Instagram, because I want to be with my teenagers and I want to connect with them and I want to do that. But it's something I have to think to do, to make myself do. My students, it's what they do. That's the world they're in. And if we're to come into youth ministry and say, oh, wait a minute, you just shouldn't be doing that. It's like telling me as a high school student, well, you shouldn't be walking around the mall and talking to your friends. You shouldn't be on the phone all the time. You shouldn't be hanging out. And I'd say, you're crazy. You're old, you're irrelevant, you don't know what you're talking about. This is the world they live in, and we need to really realize that, first of all. That's the first thing in ministry, that it has changed. Now, for a lot of the guys I work with who are 20-something youth ministers, the world has not changed for them because they grew up in this world. But I think a lot of us who are parents and older ministers need to understand this is the world they live in, and this is where they are. So we've got to use it. One of the questions that keeps coming up, this is from I heard this in a TED talk that Walter mentioned yesterday. Someone asked the question, what's wrong with these kids? Why don't they just go outside and play? Do they have to be online all the time, all this stuff? And this is a picture from one of my favorite movies, The Sandlot, where, you know, back in the day when we would all just play baseball all day, or we'd all just run around and do whatever. I remember being a kid riding my bike all over town. It might be 5 miles across town to the swimming pool, but we would all do it. And that was some of the greatest treks ever, getting ourselves navigated across town because we had talked to each other the week before, next Saturday, to the pool, everybody there. And these kids don't have that world anymore. When you say to them, why don't you hang out? They say, I'd love to hang out with my friends. I just don't have time. I've got too much stuff to do. That's one of the problems. The biggest difficulty I'm dealing with in youth ministry right now is that children and families are over-programmed. You can read it everywhere. That they are programmed from early morning to late at night, 5 days a week. I can't meet with my students most of the time anymore on afternoons. I've started breakfast clubs. I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go to 5 different places 5 days a week to have breakfast with my students who are spread all over the place. Some mornings I drive 30 miles to get to a breakfast spot one way so I can meet with 5 kids and have breakfast with them, pray with them, then take them to school. And that's the most successful time of meeting I've had in the last 10 years. Because I can't meet with these kids in the afternoon. They don't have that time. And so what they're doing on social media, it gives them space to connect in the tiny gaps that they have while they're doing a whole bunch of other things. Social media is their way of connection. We need to recognize that and think about, okay, we need to start thinking creatively how to use this. Walter talked a lot about that yesterday, and we're kind of looking at it through youth ministry. Their world in social media is often a reflection of their non-cyber world. So they put pictures up. And this can be a negative, but I think mostly, for most kids, it's a positive. that they show the good things they're doing. They show what they're involved in. They put it on all the time. So they build these communities and build these relationships. And they care about what someone put on Instagram. They care about what's going on in the world around them. And they know, and they're very creative. And it blows me away the things that they can do in a short time. We do a fall retreat to Pismo Beach, rent a couple of houses on the beach, and go play on the beach all weekend long. And it's the weekend that I do a kickoff with just my group, building a lot of great times of worship and fun and really working there. We took about a 10-minute break in the middle of the session last year. And at the end of that 10-minute break, when the guys had been throwing a football back and forth, and we were just goofing off, the girls had been down by the beach, and I saw them running and dancing around, all that stuff, whatever. When I called them back in, I said, hey, let's come back in. I want to talk about one more thing, then we're going to do this other stuff. And the girls went, ooh, can we show you something? I went, sure. This beautifully edited, gorgeously done, perfectly put together music video to the giant song from Frozen. Good grief. Let It Go. Mm-hmm. In 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I said, how in the world did you do that? This is a freshman girl. This thing on my phone, this app just does it perfectly. And I didn't say this to her, but I was thinking, back in 1990 when I tried to do music videos, and it took us 6 weeks to get that thing done. Because you had to get the videotape, then you had to go cut it, then you had to get the music. I was like, good grief, in 10 minutes. These kids are doing it like that. Ministry, we've got to figure out how to use this stuff. Okay? Because they know and they're doing it. It's their world. And at least they hope they come out as they want to be. And I think that's the first thing we need to talk to them about. What is your online image like? What are you putting out there? And we'll talk about this more in just a little bit. But it's really important because it is a reflection of their real world. But just because they're proficient at using social media does not mean that they know how to relate to others or use it wisely. Okay, we know this. How many times have you seen students sitting in a room texting each other and not having any conversation? Happens every time I have my youth group and I come walking in. There's a line that they are tired of hearing me say, but I'm going to keep saying it. It's just a cheesy old man joke. I'll come walking up to any teenager I see sitting there on their phone, and I go, hey, if you're texting me, I'm right here. And they laugh and go, no, I was doing this. Okay. Yeah, I knew they weren't texting me, but it's just that, hello, let's be together. We're in the room. Let's all get off the phones. At least none of us ever do that, right? This is me and my wife. This is our dog, Darby. My daughter, Alicia, came home for a brief moment, and this was kind of our normal night. We've both just gotten home from work, and she took this picture with the dog sitting there going, you see what my life is like when they're gone? This is who they are and what they do. I don't know what's going on. But we're so often alone together, and so we need to help them learn to navigate that better, because we fall into it too. But that's one of the things that we'll be talking about. Here's one of the major metaphors I try to give parents all the time, and this is what we're going to spend some time on. And hopefully we'll have some time to open up for questions and discussions in just a little bit. But the metaphor is that adolescence is the day before moving day. Okay? So think about that day before moving day. Everyone, when they're getting things together and getting ready to move, the day before, it looks exactly like this, right? Everything's clean and nice and neat and put in boxes and ready to go on the day before moving day. Has anybody ever moved and had it look like that the day before the truck got there? No, I've in youth ministry for 20-some years, I can't tell you how many families I've helped move. You know, that's, oh, someone's moving to church, youth group will help you. You know, and that's the way it goes. And I love it. That's a good service and a good relation time for these kids. But it never, ever looks like this. You come in the day of moving day and people are like, oh, yeah, we should, you got any boxes? We should go get some boxes. Oh, my goodness. You know, it is a mess. Things everywhere. You're trying to figure out what goes where. How do we organize this? How do we put that in? What's going with us? What's staying behind? Is there a goodwill side of all this stuff that's stacked? Or what's going with us? Or what's precious we need to care for? What doesn't matter? Just throw it in a box. It becomes chaos. I think that's a good picture for adolescents, where they are in the business of packing boxes. And so what I tell parents is you need to think about your life with them as packing boxes as they're getting ready to move into adulthood. Because they're building identity. They're figuring out who they want to be. They're trying to decide, what am I taking with me that I learned from my parents? And what do I learn from my parents that I'm throwing away? And so I think a wise parent is having these conversations all the time about, why do we do these things? Here's why. Let me tell you, this is our tradition. This is what we've done. This is why I do my taxes this way and go to this guy because he's good. This is what I do about finances. This is how I deal with my checkbook. This is how we deal with conflict in our family. I want you to pack these boxes and understand. A wise parent looks at a child who's 16, 17, 18 and says, look, there's some things I've not done well. There are things in my life I don't want you to do. Let's not pack that box and take it with you. And you have those conversations. But in youth ministry, we need to come alongside parents and help them pack boxes as well. And so today, we could talk about a lot of things, but we're focusing on technology and specifically social media. So we need to learn to how to help them pack those boxes. And I want to lean on spiritual formation a little bit. This is one of the horses I try to keep riding. What are we doing in spiritual formation, specifically spiritual disciplines? And so I'm pulling a little bit from Richard Foster in Celebration of Discipline, just as a framework to think about how we get kids to think about social media specifically and how to use it. So in Celebration of Discipline, if you're familiar with this book, you know, I mean, it's a classic. If you've never heard this book, get it and read it, because the title is an oxymoron, Celebration of Discipline. But at the same time, Richard Foster unpacks some really great disciplines for us. He puts it in three categories. There's inward disciplines that are just you focused by yourself. He's got a whole list, but examples are prayer and study. Then there are the outward disciplines, of like submission to someone else or service to others. And then there are what he calls corporate disciplines, confession and worship and others. So we think about these three categories, kind of me by myself, me in connection with one or two other people, and then me in connection with the whole community. If we think about spiritual disciplines in that way, where am I alone? Where I'm getting my alone time just with God? I want my students to figure that out. It's up to you. You need this individual time. Then you also need a connection with someone else where you're actually putting yourself out there and serving them. And then finally, we all need to come together at corporate times to worship and to build those disciplines as well. We're going to think about dealing with social media in a youth ministry from similar categories. Right? Are you with me so far? Does this make sense? Or am I just talking to the wall? Sometimes I do that. At least the wall bounces it back and I get to laugh at myself. Okay. So when we're going into youth ministry and thinking about social media, I'm building off these a little bit. You'll see the connection here. First is times of disengagement. As in spiritual disciplines, we need to step back and disengage from the world and engage alone with God. I want to teach my teens, yeah, there are times you need to disengage from media and social media and technology and cut yourself off. But those are important times. And we want to help them learn to practice that. So I've got some ideas of what we've done here. Then there are times of engagement, which they don't expect us to give them. I want you to bring your cell phones to this. I want you to use it this way. Here's what we're going to do. How can we take this tool that you're using all the time and shape it and use it in positive ways? That's packing a box. Saying, okay, there are a lot of negative things you can do with technology, and you probably know all of those. And if you bumped into them, you're trying to avoid them. So let's not talk about that so much. Let's see what we can do here positively. And then periodically, I do look at the negative side. I've got a group of guys right now I'm meeting with, an accountability group, talking about sexuality and online, all of this kind of stuff, in really straightforward conversation. But that's not with my entire group. You know, these are juniors and seniors who are asking these questions and saying, how do you deal with this? And so we're sitting and talking about it. But for most of my kids, I'm going to talk about times of engagement. How can we use social media or technology in a way that's positive? And then finally, how can we use it in our youth group time, corporate engagement? How do we actually use this technology to enhance what we're doing when we're together as a large group? And so I think those three categories have been really helpful to me in kind of thinking through this. And it allows me to have a bit of a balance in what I'm doing. So we don't end up just, you know, doing all one thing or saying, get rid of it, it's no good. Ah, you know, you can't do that. Or saying, hey, it's all good, go for it all the time. And parents are like, what are you saying? You know, let's talk about some of these. So times of disengagement. Retreats and camps, I think, are prime. We have a policy that our teen camp, which is probably you ask a lot of our Southern California kids, teen camp is the most important spiritual week for them all week long. I'm amazed every year when I come in and ask kids just on the first night, hey, glad you're here, what are you looking forward to? how many kids say, this is the week I reconnect. Right? All year long, I got other things going on, but this is the week I reconnect. We are hardcore. No one brings cell phones. They're not there all week long. I have parents every year call me and say, what do you mean my daughter can't call me? No, she can call you. She just has to talk to me and use my phone. Don't try to text her. She's not going to text you back. It's not going to happen. Parents are pushing this more than kids. Now, there are those kids. They'll try to get around it. We allow them to bring those phones and give them to us, and we shut them down and put, you know, tape in their name on them, and we lock them away. And there's the occasional kid that gives us a fake phone to keep the real one. You know, and I'm like, seriously, you want to work this hard at doing this thing? It's not that big of a deal. I smack them and take it away. You know, it's no big deal. But most of our kids are getting it, and they're actually looking forward to that time of disengagement. We'll talk about how we deal with that later. But also, my kids, when we go away on a retreat, there are times I tell them, no phones. It's over. You're away from this. We're trying to break away, and we're building that discipline of disengagement. So it doesn't have to be just long times. I encourage families to take a weekly sabbatical. What if you had a time where, okay, maybe Sunday we're not going to use our phones today, or Sunday we're not going to go online, or whatever it is. I want you to think about putting a time of weekly sabbatical in there. I'm just going to throw a ton of ideas at you. I don't have to do all of these, but unplug youth group worship times. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. There are other times it makes sense to engage in those, but I've known ministers who say, okay, here's the basket. When you come in the room, the phones go in the basket. After youth group, pick up your phone and take it back again. And if you, you know, are thinking about it, just don't bring it. It makes it easier. I don't do that personally because I want to give my kids the ability to say no to it even when it's in their pocket. Okay, so you can go either way on that, but I just tell them it's not going to happen right now. And if they pull it out, like, what are you doing? Put that away. And they know, they understand, and they actually, I think, enjoy getting away. And then I also encourage an extended annual sabbatical. In the last 10 years, we've started, we don't call it Lent, but we're doing Lent at the Canoe Valley Church of Christ. We take a 40-day spiritual adventure prior to Easter. We had to put a whole lot of syllables so it didn't sound Catholic, I guess, but that's that's what we're doing. And I encourage my students, think about, what are you going to break away from to make more space for God? That's all it is. I'm not about give up chocolate because chocolate's evil, or I'm not, you know, stop watching that show because it's bad. I mean, no. What are you going to break away from that makes more space for God? And I can't tell you how many of my kids are like, wow, I gave up Instagram, and 2 weeks into it, it's like, this is killing me. All my friends are mad at me. Nobody, they don't know what's going on. But 4 weeks into it, they're like, this is super free. It just feels so good. And we take that time to make space for God, because I'm not all over that. And I'm not worried about how many likes I'm getting or how many posts are coming up. You know, and it's just a nice little break. And they can do it for 6 weeks. You know, we build times in our church calendar where we ask people to think about doing those kinds of things. And this is just one of those. Okay, let's talk about times of engagement. Kind of the opposite side here. You need to get on Instagram. If you're in youth ministry, you just need to get on there, because you can connect with kids. And there's sometimes kids are going to tell you, I don't want to give you my Instagram. And it's not always a negative thing. The first time this ever hurt my feelings, it was my new daughter-in-law. She had been my intern, and then she started dating my son because they were both going to Pepperdine. He wasn't around my church at the time. She was an intern. Nothing wrong there. But anyway, I said, Caitlin, hey, I want to get on your Instagram. She says, I no, sorry. Whoa. All of a sudden, what is going on your Instagram is my first thought. And she said, no, look, my mom is all over all of my online presence, and this is the only place I've told her I want. Mom, this is just for me. I'm not doing anything wrong, but I want some place where my friends can comment and my mom's not commenting all over it. And since I told my mom she can't have it, I can't very well give it to you either. And I was like, I get it. So some of your teenagers may say, yeah, I don't really want you on my Instagram. You go, that's okay, that's fine. Because they'll see your post popping with other people and doing things, and eventually they're probably going to warm up to it, and hey, it's okay. Our new youth minister, first thing he did was put up a youth group Instagram page. And everything he puts out goes on that page. There are some of our families who are really strict about all of this. Their kids don't have cell phones and they only use email. And, you know, some families never see email. So what he started to do is send those emails out, but also, so he doesn't have to do this twice, as a joke, he takes a picture of the email and throws it on Instagram. And the kids who are Instagram get it. I got your email, you know, and it's like, yeah, you should have read my email. You know, so it's lots of great ways to connect and do that kind of stuff. But you've got to get on there. Use it for weekly posts or texts, talking to the kids, tell them what's going on, and just, you know, throw out, have a running list. I'm going to do this with 5 or 6 kids today and throw out, hey, you know, I'm thinking about you, I'm praying for you, what's going on? And you could put it out to everybody, you might get inundated with a ton of stuff. But what if they know, wow, he's working through this group and he's touching all of us, or she's connecting with us in this way. Encourage using prayer requests back and forth. You know, talk to them about that. This is not rocket science. This is all the stuff we wanted to do face-to-face for years. Do it on here. Make use of it. I'm not really necessarily giving you anything. This is one thing that we've done, is to tell friends or tell our students, okay, if you have a friend who should have been here tonight, don't shame them, but say, hey, at my youth group tonight, we talked about this. I'd like to talk to you about it sometime. And give them time in the time to do that. I want you to take 5 minutes right now, spend some time praying, and if God brings to mind somebody that you wish were here, that you could have talked about this topic with, text them and let them know. It's one more way for them to respond, and it's connecting with that cyber world that is so much a part of them, and use those in important ways so that they're using that technology. We've also done things over the years at camp where we did a silent testimony, where we set up a couple laptops in the back and had them automatically going up on big screens, and we gave a prompt on the question and just let the kids walk back there and start typing their responses. And the kids were just glued reading for an hour as things were written and kids were saying whatever they wanted to. And I was worried about social pressure not being strong enough and some people going, oh, this will be funny. Watch when I write this word. No one did that in a camp of 150 kids. No one did that. Also, you know, we did a retreat recently in Michigan, and they call it hashtag selfie, and we were selfie all weekend long. Finally, Caitlin, my daughter-in-law, calls me. Never in the world does she call me. My kids are the ones I call, no answer, call, no answer, call, text. Yeah, what'd you want? Good grief, pick up the phone. It's the same phone I just texted you on. Yeah, but I'd rather just text. Okay.
Using your phone as a phone?
Exactly. It's crazy. But she calls me and says, Jack, come on. Stop with the selfies. You're firing up my Instagram. I said, well, shut me off for a weekend, because every break we were taking 100 selfies with kids. Yeah, get me in there. And it was just, I'm posting them all. These kids loved it. And we got to talk about self-image and who are you and what are you putting out and who's God creating you to be. And they're all putting selfies all over the place. And everybody's asking, what's up with all the selfies? Well, let me tell you about the weekend I was at. You know, creative uses of these things. There's all, and a lot of you are more creative than I am. Going to fly through these last ones. Times of corporate engagement. When we get in and use text or cell phone games, like just one idea. I got in there last Halloween. My junior high group was just totally squirrely for like 3 weeks straight. This is going to be a rough one tonight, because we're so close to Halloween. And so I thought, well, you know, we've been working through the story, and we just kind of talked about Ezekiel. And I went, hey, let's do the Valley of Dry Bones. Let's go back to that and see if they remember that and talk about it. So I went down and bought 2 skeletons, about, you know, 3-4 feet tall, broke them apart, stuck them in places all over the church building, and then put my kids in teams, and I took pictures of the skeleton and the bones all over church, wherever they were, and I would give them 2 teams. I'd give them one picture at a time and say, there's the picture, but it was up close, and they had to figure out where it was, and it was a race to go find it all over the church building. And they come back with the bone, we got the bone, yeah, all right, next picture. And, you know, then after we did this for a little while, I said, now what you have to do, first team to get there, get your whole team around it, take a selfie and send it back to me. The first team to get that selfie back in the right place wins. Made sure each team had a cell phone. And it was like, coolest night ever. I absolutely loved it. Then we talked more about the Valley of Dry Bones and how God can bring life from death and all that kind of stuff. But it's just teaching, but it's thinking, how can we work that in? Having a group Instagram or Facebook, we talked about that a little bit. Encouraging a tough questions message board or Facebook page. And letting it be anonymous. But you are honestly trying to answer that. And what about putting in, you know, do a hashtag or put in another link and say, hey, that's a great question. Here's a good page that deals with that. Why don't you click on this? And get them going into places. There's a ton of good stuff on the internet that really does have good answers. There's also a ton of theological stuff that is garbage on the internet. Why not guide them and lead them to good stuff by your links?
Jack, how do you let them be anonymous on a Facebook or an Instagram? I don't know how to do that.
I don't know either. I said that, didn't I?
But, well,
I don't know.
Let me jump in
for
a second, and then I think I'll get around to that.
Yeah.
Here's a couple other practices when we get into the idea of times of engagement and disengagement. But before I talk about the practices, I want to just kind of remind you that the metaphor that Foster uses in Celebration of Discipline when it comes to these practices that I think we need to frame our discussion in is that the disciplines are about freedom, right? There are those times when I just felt like, man, to be a good Christian, you should read the Bible every day, you should pray every day, and you should journal every day. Should. And I feel like we do that so many times in our churches and in our youth groups where we should all over people. Sorry, did I say where Foster's saying, no, the disciplines are these things that you have to choose to go into. Now, I teach disciplines at Lipscomb with my students, and so there's some of that I just have to force them to try it. But also, so when I do force them to try it, in the same way that what we're talking about here is forcing students to like do away with their phone for a weekend or a week, frame it in, look for the freedom that this could give you. This is not about slavery. Because, right. I mean, I've journaled when I felt like I have to journal. And it's not really good journaling sometimes. Sometimes it is. Another thing with times of engagement, do this. Pull out your phone and pull out your text messaging app. Do that. I'm going to let you. Yeah, pull out your phone. And this was an exercise that I got just about a year ago. I was at a conference. And look at the last four people that you text messaged. And pray for them right now. So that's a practice now I do with some of my students. And I say, you know, the next time, this is what I do now when I find myself standing in line at the grocery store. Instead of flipping and looking through my Instagram and Twitter, pull out my text messaging app, and I'll pray for those four people. The other exercise that I have them do is pick one person. Well, let me back up. About 8 years ago or so, when I turned 40, I realized my life is almost over. And that God had put some really special people into my life. And I wanted to make sure that they knew that. So I started to incorporate in my own just kind of conversations and phone conversations with people to just tell them, man, when I'm hanging out with them, man, I love you. Just want to let you know I love you, you know. So that if I got hit by a bus after I hung up, they knew that. And so I'll have my students then pick one person off their texting or just someone that God's put on their heart. Just tell them you love them. Maybe kind of weird, maybe out of the blue. But I get so many stories from my students now that they do that. So do that, if you will. Find one person, just say, thinking about you, and I love you. Do that. It's okay. It's okay. Could be your wife, could be a son, could be a daughter. It doesn't have to be your next-door neighbor who you only borrow your brakes from. Now, with the anonymous, there's a really great little website called todaysmeet.com, T-O-D-A-Y-S, meet, as in meeting, M-E-E-T.com, where you can set up basically a message board that expires after an hour, a day, a week, or a month, or something like that. And if it's anybody who can even get on the internet can use this site. So you can set it up. It's not rocket surgery. You just kind of give it a title, and it runs. And when someone goes on there, they have to put their name in their comment. Well, it doesn't ask to check their name. So when I use this in my class, I just say, you can put, you know, I am Iron Man for your name. I don't care. So they can put it up there anonymously. And there's a really interesting, some really interesting research out there that we'll do this in our classes every so often, where we'll just have this running message board up there so that you can ask questions and those kinds of things anonymously. And it'll engage 75% of your students, because they're not the kind of students who have the guts to raise their hand and ask a question, mm-hmm. or they don't have the guts to make a comment in class, but they'll do it from the security of their cell phone in the midst of the class with them and have their voice heard. And that's proved to be a really, really interesting tool that you can do. And so,
yeah, and another way to go at it, it's not, I mean, if you have a kid who wants to ask a difficult question, say you have a Facebook page that you're saying is a place to ask tough questions, if they don't want you to know at all that they're asking this question, that's difficult. But you can give them one layer that says, look, if anyone has a question you want to put up there, but you'd be embarrassed to people know that was your question, text that question to me, and I'll go on and say, hey, someone asked this question, and put it up there. And that's one layer back that, you know, they can be a little more safe. And then you can still address it and go with it there. So I think these kind of ways, you're so creative, you'll find tons of ways to find technology useful. Yeah?
When you said you did the thought testimony at camp, uh-huh. on the screen, I would have the same question kind of as her. If they see the kids going back there to type in a testimonies, or did they type when there was not a...
No, there was a long line of kids waiting to get to it because they all had something they wanted to say. And I think everyone was sitting, for instance, you're sitting here staring at that screen, all the computers were behind you. So there was that little level of not everyone staring at me while I'm typing, but at the same time, I think the social pressure of everybody knows I was in line helps them filter what they want to say. But it was great to see what was coming out, and we got some really hard confessional things that were typed and written.
Can you
and
say
said.
Some more about the logistics of how that worked? I'm very interested. How many computers and how did you?
Well, we had.
Have it Wi-Fi from the computer to the screen, or how were you posting them?
I think it was so low tech for us. This was 5-6 years ago. I think it was literally a Word document.
Okay.
That, and then we'd plug that laptop into into projectors.
So it wasn't instant in the sense that as it was typed, it showed up on the screen.
No, it was.
It was. Okay,
yeah, so the screens, the projectors were working
okay.
in place of the monitor on the...
Right, yeah, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah,
okay.
And there are probably more high-tech, smarter ways. Other things that we're doing right now, in fact, there's a youth rally going on in Bakersfield. They've been doing this for 2 or 3 years, where they give the kids a hashtag or say, text us, and they get to see what comes first so they can filter it. And not everything that comes into them goes up on the big screens.
Yeah.
Because when kids feel like they have a little bit more anonymity, they're more likely to say, hey, this will be funny. And, you know, they put up, like, you know, Jeff likes Tracy, and they want that to go up on the screen. You're like, no, that's not what we're looking for. So we get some of those coming in, but if you're doing it through Twitter or through some kind of format like that, where in the back they're getting them and then deciding what to launch.
Yeah, our camp actually has no, I mean, the upside of our campus, technology can't exist in our camp.
Mm-hmm.
We're above 10,000 feet, and
okay.
There's
you.
No Wi-Fi signal, there's no
yeah.
phone signal, which is great for
yeah.
us. I mean,
yeah.
It really helps on the,
yeah.
I don't have to take, they can carry their phone all around.
Right,
because they ain't gonna work.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like that idea of being able to project, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, and I think you know Trey Talley.
Yeah.
Trey is the guy that was setting that up for us, and I just kind of watched it happen. So, but I'm pretty sure that we just had the projectors working as monitors, and kids were typing right on the screen. They could see it on the screen in front of them, but it was being also going out, just a Word doc.
Okay.
Yeah. Great stuff. Okay, Walter's showing us today's meet. Any other questions or comments?
That's all you do on your mobile device is go to todaysmeet.com/PBLTech, and you can put something up there. Poll Everywhere is a kind of a next level one. If you have a small group, you can do online polls that kids, I'll use this for, what are those called, bell ringers, when kids are just waiting before class. I'll have a question up there, and it live updates up to about, it's free up to about 40 users. So if you have a group of 40 or under, like on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, quite honestly, if you have a group of 80 and under and all you can take is 40 responses, that's all you're going to really get anyways, because some of the students, and they just can text their answers to that. I'm going to, I can show a live demo of that tomorrow.
Yeah.
So those are two ways to just kind of use technology to engage your students.
Cool.
In that.
Yeah. Let's jump back to the...
I'm sorry.
No worries.
I'll do that. You keep talking.
Okay. Well, it's probably better if you do that. It won't take you 5 minutes like me. Okay. but there's just one more slide I wanted to see. Just jump to that last slide if you want to, or I can pop it in there. Yeah. I mean, this is it. In the times of disengagement when we're at camp or whatever, jump all the way back to the beginning where I said they feel like if it's not online, maybe it didn't happen. They don't really feel that way, but that's that sense. And I told her I felt that the other day. We make sure that at camp, we have adults with cameras all over the place. And the day that camp ends, we flood Facebook and the Instagram teen camp page and all that stuff with all of these pictures, and we see them just populate everywhere. These kids do get to go and say, here's what I did. It was all last week. And they had the blessing of doing it without watching that all the way along the way. But you've got to be sure that you're in the middle of that world with them. Because if you want to really connect with kids today and make a difference, you've got to be in that world. And you've got to connect with them and do it. And so times of disengagement are super important, but making sure that it's not total disengagement so that they go back from teen camp and say, this was great, it was awesome. Really, where are the pics? Oh, I couldn't take any, they wouldn't let me. That's going to kill half the enthusiasm they have for camp. So we need to be, you know, thoughtful about those things. So these are just all from events we did in the last year. So anyway, our time is about up. Any other thoughts, comments, or questions? Okay. This is not difficult stuff, but we need to think creatively about how to use it powerfully and importantly. And Walter is going to talk specifically about controls and things for parents tomorrow. As we look through the youth ministry lens today, tomorrow he'll look through the lens with parents and parenting. All right? Thanks.
What was that? PollEverywhere.com?
Yeah. PollEverywhere.